This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
This is the Leadership Forum.
Consider if everybody did what you are doing, would the world be a better place? That's a principle for just checking whether what you are doing is correct.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum, where we explore principles, practices, and perspectives of effective leadership.
A very beautiful morning. I sure do trust you're having a wonderful time. My name is Chico and this is the Leadership Forum. With me in studio is Dr. Joshua Wathanga. And of course, he's going to be talking about boards that lead change, governing for relevance and renewal. Welcome to Leadership Forum, whatever you are tuned in from. Karibu sana. Kindly tell a friend to tell a friend. It's time for us to learn. But right this moment, allow me to invite our guest to just tell us how he has been since we last saw each other. I don't know what's happening with my tongue today. You can actually interact with us on our social media platforms. That is at Hope FM Live and at Hope TV Kenya. Our numbers are 0717400555 0717400555. Better yet, you can use the text line, which is 20933. Karibu sana daktari.
Thank you, Chico.
Yes, how have you been?
I have been well.
Yes.
Loved the conversation we had last time.
Yes.
And particularly the interaction, the questions that listeners asked.
Mm-hmm.
Very perceptive questions that showed that they were following. And I look forward to another lovely conversation today.
Yes. Kindly come closer to the mic. Yes. Thank you so much. It's good to have you again. Today we are looking forward to hear what God has to say through you. Boards that lead change. What does that mean?
Well, mm-hmm. Particularly so at mm-hmm. A time when globally, you know, there are so many things happening, rapid change.
Mm-hmm.
That whole concept of, you know, you hear organizations talk about a mission drift,
mm-hmm.
or an organization that starts with a particular very clear vision.
Yes.
But with time, you almost can recognize that it's the same organization. It has changed. It mm-hmm. has drifted.
They are all over.
And the people inside
mm-hmm.
may not actually see it happening or know that it is happening. But after a number of years, mm-hmm. they realize, oh, we've actually lost our original vision.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to talk about what is the role of the board.
Yes.
In making sure mm-hmm. And giving oversight over the organization to ensure that its mission continues to be what is being practiced.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be looking at a number of ways that the board can do exactly that.
Wow. Asante sana. In case you're just joining us, I think it would be useful to go back to our social media platforms. Last time, you were talking about how governance can help us in our witness. And that was very powerful. And even as we shift focus to this, I feel like it's somehow like a continuation. It's like you already gave us an introduction on how we don't have to be on the pulpit to, you know, witness to people, but we can do it wherever we are. Yes, I just thought, let me point that out to people. Yeah. Karibu sana.
Asante.
Yes.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Well, as I mentioned, it's a rapidly changing world.
Yes.
And so many organizations can easily mm-hmm. lose relevance because there are so many challenges
mm-hmm.
Affecting organizations. And I just want to mention that this mission drift
yes.
is not necessarily because of a lack of vision,
mm-hmm.
but something more practical.
Mm.
Like outdated systems and unclear governance.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to explore on how effective boards and leaders can guide renewal
mm-hmm.
by doing some alignment of vision,
mm-hmm.
of strategy,
mm-hmm.
of structure. Because sometimes the leaders may mean well in terms of where they are taking the members.
Yes, yes.
Or taking the business mm-hmm. or the organization.
Yes.
But they could be all over the place in terms of this is their vision, mm-hmm. but their systems are not supporting the vision that they have.
Okay.
And their structures may actually be taken away from where they want to get to. So that alignment becomes very important.
Okay.
And so the role of the board and the other leaders in the organization in terms of that alignment. And to do this, I want to draw insights from a number of areas. One of them is the kind of governance practice mm-hmm. that will help the organization to ensure that alignment is taking place.
Okay.
We also talk about how the strategic planning and execution in the organization mm-hmm. can then be a source of knowing what you need to align.
Mm-hmm.
And we also talk about change management.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one thing to identify that this is the direction we need to get to.
Yes.
But it's also very important to know what kind of changes mm-hmm. do we need to make as an organization in order to get from where we are to where
the place we want to
want to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And so all those are very, very important. And once we do that,
mm-hmm.
We can then begin to walk to our desired destination.
Yes.
One more thing that I also want to talk about, if time permits, mm-hmm. I'll talk about transformational leadership.
Okay.
And how transformational leadership and sound governance would help organizations to remain resilient
mm-hmm.
Through difficult times.
Okay.
How they can be adaptive and how they can be true to their mission in changing times. So we've got mm-hmm. quite a lot to look at today.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to it.
Asante Sana, I like that. When you were talking, I was just remembering there are very many companies that have died out because, for lack of a better word, they didn't design the time or the season. Yes. So you're telling us for us to be able to get to a particular goal, we need, fulfill our vision. We need to consistently check. Are we aligned to the times?
Absolutely. Are we aligned to the times in mm-hmm. terms of the environment, the people that we are serving,
mm-hmm.
the challenges that they are encountering?
Yes.
But are we also aligned mm-hmm. to our strategy in mm-hmm. terms of where we want to get to, so mm-hmm. that we are not doing
mm-hmm.
just about everything mm-hmm. that we find our hands to do?
Yes, yes.
Without asking, are mm-hmm. these activities
leading
us mm-hmm. to where we want to get to?
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So that becomes very important.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I can first of all just explain.
Yes,
we are talking about leadership or governing for relevance and renewal.
Mm-hmm.
Why is relevance
mm-hmm.
Important? Why should we be concerned about relevance?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to start with an opening thought.
Okay.
That organizations
mm-hmm.
rarely collapse overnight.
Okay.
They decline gradually. So when vision fades, systems stagnate, mm-hmm. leaders stop learning.
Okay.
And the context of that is that change is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Change is happening. It is happening in technology.
Yes.
In demographics, the country is getting younger, for example.
Mm-hmm.
They are also, for some organizations, they are affected by donor patterns.
Yes.
And others, governance expectations of their community or their members or their customers.
Okay.
Even theology and culture.
Mm-hmm.
So all changes are happening. And so many institutions, you know, churches, you know, non-government organizations, schools, corporates, they struggle to stay relevant because their governance systems were built for a different season. So, you know, the organization or the or the church may have set up their systems, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. But they have not adapted them for the current season. And the challenges, you know, could be different. And I just close that that whole explanation as to why relevance is important by quoting one governance expert. And this is the way they put it, that the greatest risk to mission is not the storm outside, but the rigidity inside.
Wow!
So the biggest threat to whether an organization or a church or a business will get to where it needs to get to.
Yes.
The problem is actually not outside. The biggest problem is
within.
It is within. Because we are not able to identify what will it require in terms of our governance, in terms of our leadership, in terms of our systems, to be able to face the challenges that we, you know, we are encountering at this time.
Wow. You know, when you're speaking, maybe you will correct me if, let me just play like the person who is listening. When you're speaking, I was thinking about COVID and how the church was found unawares and how ministers of the gospel were saying, you know, internet, ni kwa shetani. Yeah. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, you see, COVID, that's a very good example because it's a huge disruption.
Yes.
The reality is that there will be disruptions, maybe not in that magnitude, but there are always disruptions. People and organizations that are able to adjust and adapt as quickly as possible, as effectively as possible, are the ones that will not only survive, but thrive.
Yes.
So you will find after COVID, there are some businesses and organizations that have ceased to exist.
Yeah.
There are others that survived it and lived to tell the story.
Yes.
But there are some that actually thrived.
Yeah.
There are some who will look at the COVID period and they will say, that is when my business picked up.
Yes.
Or even the idea of my business came out of that disruption. And that could have been COVID, but actually there's continuous disruptions happening.
Okay.
And the way an organization or a church deals with those disruptions will determine, again, whether they cease to exist or will just survive or even thrive out of it. And what we want to talk about is how can boards, how can governance support their organizations to actually thrive in the midst of those disruptions? And if I may, I'll just list the various subtopics that we will cover if we have time.
Yes.
There are actually quite a number, six of them.
Okay.
You know, you're not spared equal time for each of them. The first thing that we want to talk about is why organizations lose relevance. The second one, governance as the engine of renewal. How can good governance, you know, be an engine of a renewal? The third one is a bridging vision and an execution. So you have the vision of where you want to get to. What do you do day to day in terms of execution of that strategy so that you are approaching where you need to be getting to? And then we talk about leading change.
Okay.
How can the board be a leader of the change process? How can it support the change process? So mm-hmm. you talk about some models, some frameworks.
Okay.
But we also talk about the emotions of change.
Yes.
Because there are many.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have time, we talk about how do you institutionalize transformation?
Mm-hmm.
How do you, so that once you have effected some change in the organization, how do you ensure that it's not a one-off?
Oh, so that even when you're gone...
Yes.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So that it becomes, if you like, even self-sustaining.
Mm-hmm.
And institutionalizing change means that there are some things that you've got to do to your structures, to your systems, to your policies,
mm-hmm.
so that they add a guard. They basically make the change possible.
Yes.
So they don't become a hindrance. So mm-hmm. if we have time, we'll talk about all those and more.
Wow, asante sana. So possibly we can begin with the first.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. Why do organizations lose relevance?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to mention maybe four or five reasons. The major one I've mentioned.
Okay.
And that is a mission drift.
Okay.
When we talk about mission drift,
mm-hmm.
we are basically saying an organization starts doing good things,
mm-hmm.
but not the main thing.
Okay.
Each organization,
mm-hmm.
Or indeed each church,
yes,
they've got a mission.
Mm-hmm.
This is the reason why we exist.
Yes.
Whereas for churches, people might think, okay, it's the same thing, isn't mm-hmm. it? It's about proclaiming the gospel. It's about discipleship. It's about planting churches in terms of outreach and
yes.
so on.
Mm-hmm.
Even there, churches will have that as the ultimate goal.
Yes.
But in terms of their specific mission as a congregation or as a denomination, it's very, very important that they stick to it. It's probably easier to describe mission drift when thinking of, say, other organizations.
Mm-hmm.
It's either a Christian organization or it's a development, an NGO, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So you are created as an NGO. You
yes.
created this NGO
mm-hmm.
to do ABC.
Yes.
Occasionally what happens is that you may discover
mm-hmm.
that the possible funders
mm.
would like to fund you are doing ABC, but they like to fund DEF. And
okay.
so, mm-hmm. because it is a lot easier to get funding mm-hmm. if you are doing DEF,
mm-hmm.
you move from ABC
mm-hmm.
and you start, you know, doing DEF.
Okay.
So that is one reason why organizations lose relevance. So that's part of mission drift.
Mm-hmm.
But the other reason, a sub-reason for mission drift
mm-hmm.
is when boards, and these are governance bodies, whether they're elders or deacons or synod or boards of organizations,
yes,
when they focus on the things that are not about the future. So they are always talking about what happened. They want to look at budgets, and it mm-hmm. is very, very important that they do.
Mm-hmm.
They look at the financial records. They listen to reports mm-hmm. of what happened and all the good things that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
But they rarely spend time guiding the organization in terms of where we ought to be going. So we spend a lot of time looking at at the past.
It's like driving, looking at the rear view mirror.
Absolutely. You know, yeah. One would think that that is a very difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
But sadly, we do it all the time when it comes to our own plans,
yes,
as individuals or families,
mm-hmm,
and definitely for organizations.
Yeah.
That sometimes we spend a lot of time just talking about the past.
Mm-hmm.
So mission drift is one of the reasons why organizations lose relevance. So
yes,
that's the first. The second one,
mm-hmm,
is outdated models.
Mm-hmm.
And by this, we mean systems, structures designed for the past, they fail to serve the present. So
mm-hmm,
that is a lack of alignment of strategy,
mm-hmm,
to leadership, to structures, to staff competencies, to policies, systems, and procedures. Systems that do no longer fit scale or context.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I do hear, and I really feel sad when sometimes talking to members of different congregations.
Yes.
And you could be having a conversation and you say, oh, I love the way your church, the ministry of your church,
yes,
or the ministry of your organization, and this person works for that church or that organization,
mm-hmm,
and they say, but you don't know what really happens inside. You can't believe the kind of issues,
mm-hmm,
with our HR. You can't believe the kind of issues,
mm-hmm,
with whatever kind of system. And what happens in such organizations is it's not that they want to punish their staff,
no,
or their pastors.
Mm.
It's just that their systems are outdated.
Okay.
So these outdated models,
mm-hmm,
can actually lead to mission drift,
mm-hmm,
because now the people you expected to be putting in a lot of energy into the work are no longer doing so,
mm-hmm,
because they are worrying about the things that are not happening right,
mm-hmm,
because of poor systems, outdated systems. The other one, it's the third reason for mission drift is internal rigidity.
Okay.
And that is a fear of change, over-centralization, resistance to new leadership, resistance. So like a new CEO or a new senior pastor comes,
mm-hmm,
in, and they find they can't operate in this place because they are being told, this is how things happen around here.
Mm-hmm.
And sorry, if you can't fit in, you're probably not the right person. So that kind of rigidity,
mm-hmm,
where an organization may not be open to new ideas,
yeah,
because they are set in their old ways,
mm-hmm,
is a source of mission drift. And occasionally what happens is that a new leader comes in, like a new CEO.
Yes.
But some of the, particularly, the middle managers,
mm-hmm,
they've been in this organization for such a long time.
Yes.
And they'll make it very difficult for this newcomer, even if it is going to their boss,
mm-hmm,
for this person to come. So that internal rigidity,
okay,
is something that will lead to mission drift. And you can already begin to anticipate,
mm-hmm,
some of the things that good governance or the board can anticipate, when they are instituting change,
mm-hmm,
say like a new CEO, they've got to expect that there will be resistance.
Yes.
Or there could be resistance.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do? And we'll be talking about that later.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you do when you find that internally the organization is so rigid?
Mm-hmm.
So so you can't change. So that will lead to mission drift. The other one, and it's related to internal rigidity, is the leadership transitions.
Okay.
When governance gaps appear during succession or crisis, poorly managed handovers cause a lot of trust,
mm-hmm,
a loss of trust and direction. And if you think about it, there are some organizations where, say they fire their CEO, or they do a bad recruitment process for the new CEO.
Mm-hmm.
That can set the organization back for many years,
mm-hmm.
because that would result a poor transition. Usually results in poor trust,
mm-hmm.
and so poorly handled handovers and transitions are really a drawback, and they can lead to mission drift.
Okay.
I know of a number of churches that struggle with that when they are recruiting the next bishop,
mm-hmm.
or the next senior pastor.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not handled well, the church can even divide, and it's the same for organizations if transitions are not handled properly. Let me just speak to one more.
Okay.
That is organizations that don't have a learning culture.
Mm-hmm.
So lack of learning in an organization. Boards that stop reflecting and reviewing and renewing the strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And so you find that such boards that are not benefiting from continued, we call it board development.
Yes.
And learning more of the organization and better governance ways of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
When that happens, it means that, of course, that lack of learning will mean that the organization may drift.
Okay.
When it comes to their mission.
Mm-hmm.
We did talk about this last time.
Yes.
But there's a way you can compartmentalize or divide governance into three types of governance.
Okay.
Where the first type is where the board is only concerned about the statutory, the compliance matters.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, taking the box when it comes to our books being kept properly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, staff. Do you know? Are we balancing our budget? Are we accounting properly? You know, that kind of. So we call that type one. You know, governance.
Okay.
And that's just compliance.
Mm-hmm.
At a bit higher level,
mm-hmm.
there are boards that move from just being compliance boards,
yes.
to being strategic boards. So they are discussing with the management,
mm-hmm.
How can we be more strategic?
Yes.
In reaching our goals.
Mm-hmm.
How can we make sure that for each of the areas where we want to achieve results,
mm-hmm.
that we've got clear strategies.
Yes.
What are our key performance indicators,
mm-hmm.
that we are meeting the outcomes that we had set out to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when boards get involved at that level, We would call that, you know, a type two governance,
mm-hmm.
where they're really engaged with the strategy and the strategic direction of the organization.
Yes.
But high performance boards,
mm-hmm.
go to an even higher level.
Mm-hmm.
So they are definitely doing compliance,
yes.
at type one. They are definitely helping the organization in terms of their strategic direction, at mm-hmm. type two.
Mm-hmm.
But they are also helping the organization. We call that sense-making, thinking about the future,
mm-hmm.
thinking about the implications of or the impact that mm-hmm. this organization should have in years to come. And how do you help the organization to begin ensuring
mm-hmm.
that they are having the kind of impact, or they are working towards the kind of impact that they should be working towards.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the board, you know, helps the organization, even in terms of ethical leadership, ethical decision-making, thinking about sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
So those are three levels of leadership. So lack of learning can be a source of mission drift.
Okay.
So those various reasons why organizations may lose relevance.
Mm-hmm.
There's mission drift, I mentioned. There's outdated models in terms of systems. There's mm-hmm. internal rigidity mm-hmm. where, you know, this is how we do things around here and mm-hmm. we are not going to change just
conform.
For you. Leadership transitions that mm-hmm. are not well handled. And then organizations that are not learning, particularly at board level.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a question you had asked earlier. And,
yes.
And this is a good question to ask here
mm-hmm.
when you're talking about why organizations lose relevance.
Mm-hmm.
When did your organization last review whether a structure is still serving the strategy?
Wow.
And there are many organizations that will just, you know, continue as the way they have always done.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never, you know, checked and said,
are we still aligned?
Yes, are we still aligned?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is where we want to get to.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't looked at our structures. Could mm-hmm. they be the problem? And it's very important that an organization is always having that conversation mm-hmm. and a continuous conversation, always checking.
Mm-hmm.
Whether their ways of doing things are getting them to where they want to get to, or whether it is time
mm-hmm.
to change some of those, or sharpen or remove, you know, some mm-hmm. of the drawbacks that they may be having. So, mm-hmm. so that is why organizations lose relevance.
Mm-hmm.
And I now want to talk about, if I may, proceed to the next one, governance as the engine of renewal. So how do you get the board, or mm-hmm. how does the board get the organization
mm-hmm.
To constantly renew itself?
Before you get to that
yes.
part, mm-hmm. I'm just thinking of someone who is listening.
Yes.
And they could be saying, I am learning this for the future, but I'm also seeing the examples you've given. Possibly you can tell us if it aligns to also self-leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Because I see like people make resolutions
mm-hmm.
every year.
Mm-hmm.
So when you were talking about when did your organization look at the strategy, can this also apply in terms of self-leadership, so that at the tail end of the year, you check some of the things that possibly you have accomplished kindly?
Mm. Wow, that's very perceptive. Thank you for saying that, because there are people who are listening
mm.
who may say, oh, I'm not leading an organization,
yeah.
but how about my own personal strategy?
Yes.
How
yes.
do I make sure
mm-hmm.
that I deal with the issues that could get into the way of mm-hmm. of fulfilling mm-hmm. that vision that I have for my own life?
Yes.
And it is absolutely spot on.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, now that you mentioned that, if I may, let me just very briefly tell you something that once happened to me.
Yes.
And this is someone looked at my LinkedIn profile.
Yes.
And they noticed that one of the things I do or I did those days was helping organizations with their strategic planning.
Yes.
And so this person called me.
Mm-hmm.
They somehow found my contact information. I think they must have written to me through LinkedIn, and I gave them my number.
Yes.
So they called me and they said, we haven't met, but mm-hmm. I've looked at your LinkedIn profile. I've seen the kinds of things that you do,
mm-hmm.
and I think you can help me. Please, can we have coffee? And I'll explain to you
mm-hmm.
how you can help me.
Yes.
So we met for coffee, and this person told me, I've seen what you do for organizations.
Yes.
Helping them with their strategic plans and their change management.
Mm-hmm.
here is what I would really request of you. Mm. Can you help me develop a strategic plan for my life?
Wow.
And that, you know, blew my mind because I had always been asked by organizations to help them with their strategic plans.
Yes.
Nobody had ever talked to me, even I myself, although I knew that, you know, I was applying that.
Yes.
But nobody had ever put it in words like that, a strategic plan for my life.
Mm.
But that's precisely what we should be doing.
Wow.
And there are many, many people who obviously spend a lot of time, a lot of their time working for organizations, implementing strategic plans, some at the level of even developing strategic plans for their organizations or for their churches.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to their own personal life and their own family life and their own family businesses, they don't have a strategy. They, you know, live from day to day, you know. So it's that's a very perceptive question. And it applies for the individual as it does for the organization. Always reminding yourself, what is my goal?
Yes.
And a goal could be, you know, like part of, you know, is your strategy.
Yes.
What is my goal?
Mm-hmm.
What is my, in 10 years time, where
will I be?
Where should I be in terms of, you know, all the various, you know, parts of your life?
Yes.
Whether it is in your walk with the Lord, in terms of family, in terms of income, in terms of, you know, all the, you know, whichever categories. So, so one needs to be quite clear about what is my goal? And then, like these organizations, how do I ensure that I don't get into a mission drift? A mission, because we know we have a mission to reach that goal.
Yes.
And you know, looking at what are the things that are likely to get into the way, in the way of my fulfilling that
vision.
Mission.
Wow.
Yes.
I like that. Asante sana. I think I got that idea when you started talking about the daily things that you need to do to fulfill that vision. So like, for example, an organization that would want to reach the entire of Africa or possibly even the world.
Yeah.
There should be markers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Milestones.
Mm-hmm.
No, and that's a very, very important point. So where, so we say in a strategic thinking and planning.
Yes.
How do you eat an elephant?
Mm-hmm.
You asked that question. And the correct answer is, you first of all have to cut it into bite-sized pieces. So it's piece by piece. The reality is that for many people, a 10-year goal is like an elephant.
Yes.
And because it's like an elephant, sometimes we may even fear attempting to start. Because you say, where do I start? You know, how do I eat an elephant?
Yes.
And the answer is exactly what you have mentioned. That you've got to cut it into bite-sized pieces.
Yes.
You've got to have milestones. So if it is, say, a 10-year plan for those of you, let's say 15-year plan, because you're still, you know, young, and for many young people, you know, they've got, you know, 15 years' time.
Yes.
Work through, you know, what are my goals by the year, you know, by year 15 from now. And because it is very, very difficult to start doing all these things, is having identified those goals for year 15, you make that like the milestone for year 15. Then ask yourself, having, you know, indicated the things that you, you know, the kind of person that you want to be or the family or whatever in 15 years' time, you then ask yourself, if I have to be there in year 15, by year 10, what should I have done or accomplished if year 15 milestone will be possible?
Wow.
Then year 5, what is the milestone for year 5? So that I know, because the reason why milestones are important is that you don't want to wait for 15 years and then you realize that you never actually started on that journey.
Yes.
You need to have milestones. They are like, you know, they are like signposts to tell you are headed the right direction. Then from year 5, you go year by year. You go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yes.
And you have some small milestones or key performance indicators to tell you year 1 milestone tick, year 2, year 3. That way, you're going to get to year 5. And the reason why that is important is that if you have, you know, 15, 10, and let's talk about the five year, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yes.
And you're clear that if I'm going to get to year 15, this is what I need to have done by year 1.
Yes.
And by end of year 1, you have missed that milestone. Now, that is not a disaster.
Yes.
But that is something that you need to note, because you cannot afford. Yes, you need to work harder. Year 2, and you're still missing the milestone. Now, you better, you know, year 1, if you missed, you better wear some socks. Year 2, you had better pull them up. If by year 3, you are still missing the milestone, you are not going to get to year 15, so you better abandon that goal and start all over again. So that's why
start from zero.
Start from zero, because you're not going to get, you are after the wrong goal.
Oh.
So it's very, very important to have those milestones, because they help you to know whether you are getting to where you're going. The interesting thing, and I'll just say this as an aside, is that that is how every successful organization plans.
Wow.
If you go to any successful organization you care to mention, if they were to tell you, they can tell you what their 15 or 20 year plan is. And interestingly, that's how even government plans.
Yeah, because I'm just remembering 2030.
See, the 2030 vision.
Yes.
And 2030 vision for it's actually then split into 5 year, we call them medium term plans for, particularly for the national government.
Okay.
For the county governments, we call them CIDP, County Integrated Development Plans. They are 5 year plans. And so they have the 5 year plans, but they also have the 1 year ADP, we call them annual development plans.
Okay.
And the reason why even county governments or even the national government plans like that is that it's for the same reason. If you fail to meet your milestones for year one, it means you better start working on it, because you are not going to fulfill your five year plan.
Wow. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask you a very brief question before we give way to the news.
Yes.
What I've heard very clearly throughout is the word plan. And I think, I don't know, I think a lot of people are into plans. But can you talk to someone who likes for things to find them? I don't know if you've ever met people who are like that. They're just like, let's go with the flow. Kindly help them understand, for an individual, for an organization, why that would be risky.
Well, for a very, very simple reason. If you fail to plan, mm-hmm. you're actually planning to fail.
Mm-hmm.
It's as easy as that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't care whether you succeed or fail, then maybe you don't need to plan.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to get anywhere,
mm-hmm.
whether in your Christian walk,
yes,
or in your business,
mm-hmm.
or in your family,
mm-hmm.
you've got to plan.
Very true.
Absolutely.
Wow, Asante Sana, I think you are really challenging every one of us as individuals and also as companies, because when you take back what you were saying, like planning every day, it means, like, for example, if someone has a gift, you can imagine if David appeared before Saul and he was playing very badly. He took time in the wilderness to prepare, or what we call, possibly he had a plan, I don't know. So what I'm hearing is that if we want opportunities to come our way, we also need to plan in advance. And God, the master planner, has gone ahead of us. Isn't it amazing the way God never created the cow before the grass?
See? See? Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much. In case you're just joining us, you have missed a bit, but don't you worry. We are actually on our social media platforms. You can find us. We are with Dr. Joshua, and he is helping us understand about boards that lead change. Asante Sana for keeping it right here where you listen and leave. My name is Shiko. We're having such a wonderful time in God's presence. In case you're just joining us, let me not say you're late. You can actually get what we've been talking about on our social media platforms. I'm talking about Hope FM, at Hope FM Live and at Hope TV Kenya. And today with me in studio is Dr. Joshua Wathanga. He's talking about boards that lead change. And we are learning so much. Let me speak on my behalf. I'm learning so much. And it's my prayer that you're also learning the same. Karibu sana, Daktari.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, Ophia, we were talking about, you know, that song is about Christmas.
Mm.
And of course, I think maybe utaiwishwa to Christmas sahi, because it's about several days to December before people start celebrating. And I was just thinking, at the beginning of the year, when we come back from Christmas, there's usually a lot of prayer requests. People talking about school fee. And I don't want to assume that it's everyone who lacked. I'm just wondering, could it be a planning thing that, I don't know if you've also watched the news, seeing Kenyans running to buy, you know, school uniform and books, just maybe a week to school. Maybe you can mention that before you get into the next session.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, I think for quite a number of people,
yes,
who live from hand to mouth,
yes,
there is a sense in which, if you like, a planning can almost be seen as a luxury.
Oh,
because even what they will eat today,
yes,
may not be guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about, you know, planning for school uniform in a month's time or 2 months' time, it's almost out of question. So I'm not saying that if one is in such circumstances, planning doesn't help.
Yes,
it surely would.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to anticipate as much as possible, because even as we pray to God, we are anticipating the needs that we will have. But I think there are some people, one can understand planning may not be the hugest priority when you're living, you know, hand to mouth.
Yes,
but there is a category of people who can't be excused. God has blessed them with opportunities, mm-hmm. Both for work, for income, in terms of their learning, in terms of their education.
Yes,
where they cannot live like that, mm-hmm. Because it is a poor stewardship.
Yeah,
not to plan. Mm-hmm. During the break, we talked about that God plans.
Yes, He does.
God's plan for our salvation, mm-hmm. was put into place before the foundations, mm-hmm. of the earth and heavens were put into place. God's yes. plan, and Scripture, right from Old Testament. Mm-hmm. To the new,
yes,
it's about how God is executing, God executed, mm-hmm. that plan.
Yes,
that today we can be declared friends of God.
Yes,
by this God who is the Creator. Mm-hmm. To make that possible, required a huge plan.
Yes,
and God has executed it, mm-hmm. as only God can.
Yes.
You know, over the ages.
Over the years.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So for those who might say, "Oh, this is secular stuff," mm-hmm. You know, it can be more biblical.
Yeah.
You know, because yes. we are planning after the God who has put the world into place and ourselves, and given us a salvation that was put into place in such a wonderful way. Let me just say one more thing about planning.
Yes.
for individuals, mm-hmm. Earlier on we had talked about, you know, having milestones.
Yes.
Let me put it this way. Mm-hmm. Many people, by default,
yes,
plan, mm-hmm. from A to B.
Yes, yes.
Now, what that means is, it's today, and you are thinking
of tomorrow.
What should I be planning? What should I be doing, mm-hmm. so that I'm better off tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you might say, I better go for such a course. Mm-hmm. I heard a friend of mine say that they went for that course. They found it very, very nice, very, very good, and it was helpful for them.
Yes.
Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe I better go and do it. Mm-hmm. And you go and you invest and you do that course, and it may or may not help you. And that thing.
Yes.
That is planning from A to B.
Mm-hmm.
Now, high-performing, successful organizations and people, mm-hmm. don't plan from A to B.
Okay.
They plan from B to A.
A. Wow.
They first of all identify, mm-hmm. where do I want to get to?
Mm-hmm.
And the next question they ask is, how do I get there?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes a lot of difference. Because in organizations,
yes,
you go to any huge, you know, not necessarily huge, but successful, mm-hmm. if they were honest with you, they can tell you, this is our 10-year or 15-year goal.
Yes.
So whatever we are doing now, mm-hmm. is part of what will get us to that goal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but if they were just doing things, activities, in the hope that they will get there, they'll most likely not get there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in real life, this is how it looks like.
Okay.
If you have, say, a 15-year goal.
Yes.
And you are very clear about that goal.
Yes.
And you know that goal, mm-hmm. To reach that goal, Shiko will need to have done this kind of study.
Yes.
She will need this level of income.
Mm-hmm.
She will need to be living perhaps in this part of the world or country.
Yes.
Depending on that goal.
Mm-hmm.
Then all decisions that you will make, mm-hmm. towards getting to that goal not the other way around, where you make some decisions in the hope that they will get you there.
Okay, wow.
One.
So that means if opportunities come and they don't lead me to that goal.
Absolutely.
Oh.
And you know, people who plan like that, they will make some decisions that will shock you.
Yes.
They could be offered some job.
Yes.
Or even a certain salary. And they decide that job does not fit my long-term goal.
Yes.
So I would rather pay, I would rather go for a less paying
job
if it is more aligned with where I am going to.
Wow.
And
so then you become vision oriented, not materialistic.
And not activity oriented. One illustration. It's a friend of mine. They retired.
Yes.
I think they were at 60. They were in a very, very senior government position.
Yes.
And so when this person retired, among other things, we had this conversation, and they knew that I am. I'm an accredited executive coach.
Yes.
So they were saying, oh, Joshua, can you give me some ideas? No, this is a retired person now.
Yes.
I'm thinking I should do a PhD. So, we had a conversation. I asked them, a PhD?
It would keep them busy.
What do you want to do? They say, I am unsure about this.
Okay.
They happen to have been, a lawyer. They say, I could do it in law or I could do it in theology. Now, you see, this person, anything could do. Now, imagine it's the other way around. This person now clearly was planning from A to B.
Yes.
If you're planning from B to A, they should have anticipated that at retirement, this is what I would like to be doing when I retire. And so they would have worked backwards and said, if I am going to retire at this level, in all these areas, this is what I need to do. So they would have started doing those things, maybe depending on their plan, whether it is 20 years prior or 15 years or at least 10 years.
Yes.
And so by the time you get to, so when you have that plan from B to A, it is what will determine what PhD, what area should I do my PhD?
Yes.
It is not when you have retired that you should be asking those questions. So it may sound like semantics, planning from A to B, but it actually makes a whole lot of difference, world of difference, whether you are going to reach your goal.
Your goal.
Yes.
So that you avoid being very busy and not going anywhere.
Absolutely. You know, motion, will just produce heat, but not light or direction.
Yes. There's actually Bishop Karita. Karita Magara, he said direction without, actually it's speed without direction leads nowhere. So you're going very fast, but you don't know where you're going.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Well, let's continue this conversation, and let me now speak to organizations when it comes to bridging their vision and an execution.
Okay.
So let's say they already have a vision, and it is encapsulated in their strategy.
Yes.
This strategy says, in 5 years' time, this is where we want to get to as this organization or this church. How do you ensure that To the extent that is humanly possible,
yes,
with God's help,
mm-hmm.
that you can get to where you have intended or strategized,
yes.
to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me first of all just make an observation that most organizations, they have well-written strategic plans,
mm-hmm.
but limited execution discipline.
Okay.
So they've got the strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of what will it take?
Yes.
What discipline? What do we need to put into place,
mm-hmm.
to make sure that this strategy,
yes.
is executable, it's implemented?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want to talk about. Now, first of all, let me just speak to briefly why strategies fail.
Okay.
So you spent a lot of time,
mm-hmm.
and money, and you've got a very big document,
mm-hmm.
on your shelf, but somehow it is not making any change, any difference,
yes, yes.
in your organization. So why, mm-hmm. do strategies fail? There are many reasons for that. One of the reasons that people may not always identify,
mm-hmm.
is that there is no ownership of that strategy,
mm-hmm.
Particularly in its development,
okay.
by the people who are going to execute.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be an organization, and this strategy has been put into place by, say, the senior management team,
mm-hmm.
with approval from the board.
Yes.
And now you go and throw it to your staff and say, execute.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most likely, it is not going to happen.
Okay.
And the reason, and one of the reasons, is that these people who you are asking to implement,
mm-hmm.
they don't feel it.
Okay.
They were not part of the development of this.
Mm-hmm.
They don't share your vision.
Also, there is no ownership of
this. There's no ownership of that vision,
mm-hmm.
and of that strategy. So that is one of the reasons,
mm-hmm.
lack of ownership in terms of development,
mm-hmm.
of this strategy.
Mm.
The other one is a lack of what I'll call lack of feedback loops.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not listening as you put together this strategy.
Yes.
You didn't listen to all your stakeholders,
mm-hmm.
the people you meant this for, in terms of the people for whom this strategy was going to make a difference.
Yes.
Whether it is your church members,
mm-hmm.
or your customers, if,
mm-hmm.
this is a business, or your members, if you are a membership organization,
mm-hmm.
you don't have feedback loops.
Mm-hmm.
Successful businesses, they always benefit a lot from hearing from their customers.
Yes.
Because if they don't,
mm-hmm.
their customers are going to go to somebody else,
mm-hmm.
because you are not responding to their needs.
Yes.
So those, you know, weak, you know, feedback loops,
mm-hmm.
are part of the problem.
They
of,
say
why strategies don't.
Young people say, "Qua ground ni different."
Absolutely, absolutely. And if you don't have, if you don't have your ear to the ground,
yes.
It means that you really don't know what people need.
Yeah.
And if you're going to provide a service,
mm-hmm.
to them,
yes.
it may be the wrong one, because you didn't listen, you didn't hear.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, and we've mentioned this, is the poor alignment between strategic intent, what you intend to do with your strategy,
mm-hmm.
and this organizational structures and processes in that organization, and with the implementation team. So if you don't have that alignment,
mm-hmm.
because every well-constructed strategy,
yes.
should also have what we call an organization development plan. In other words,
mm-hmm.
this strategy tells you, this is where you are, this is where you want to get to.
Yes.
If you want to get to that B,
mm-hmm.
these are your main either strategies, or you call them objectives, or you call them pillars.
Yes.
These are the objectives that will get you there.
Okay.
But in order to really implement this strategy, mm-hmm. there are some changes that you may need to make in the organization or mm-hmm. in the business.
Mm-hmm.
So these are like, you know, in an organization, we'd be talking about structures, we'll be talking about processes, the procedures that had referred to that earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have an alignment between your strategic intent of where you want to get to with all these other enabling, other guarding elements of structure, of systems, of even aligning the competencies of your staff.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the people you are bringing onto your organization,
yes,
they are bringing skills and knowledge, the competencies
mm-hmm.
that will make it possible to implement this strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Lack of that alignment will lead to the failure of the strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of bridging vision to execution, the first thing to look at is why strategies fail. The second thing is, how do you strengthen strategic governance?
Okay.
And the way the board can help
mm-hmm.
with the strategic implementation is even at board level.
Yes.
You have identified these are our main pillars
mm-hmm.
for the execution of this strategy.
Yes.
So one way the board can help with implementation is ensure that their board committees
mm-hmm.
They have been assigned, you know, you assign each pillar
mm-hmm.
to a committee that will be providing oversight
mm-hmm.
and feedback to management.
Okay.
As a way of just ensuring that these various pillars are actually being implemented mm-hmm. according to your plan.
Yes.
But the other thing is, how does the board know what is happening
mm-hmm.
when they are actually not the ones who are implementing? This is where good boards would set up like dashboards.
Okay.
You know, where you've got for each of the pillars,
mm-hmm.
you've got like, you know, red saying it's not being implemented,
mm-hmm.
Amber saying, you know, it's implemented maybe 5 out of 10.
Yes.
And green, you know, it is showing the progress.
Okay.
You know, per quarter, showing that you are at 80% perhaps, or mm-hmm. 70 to 80% at, you know, during this quarter. So the board having that kind of dashboard, and the management ensuring that they are giving sufficient information
mm-hmm.
to the board so that they can monitor.
Yes.
What is an easy way of monitoring the mm-hmm. progress, so that even the board is not taken by surprise. You come to the end of the year
mm-hmm.
or worse, at the end of the strategic plan period of say 5 years, and you realize if there was implementation, it was a different strategy, not this one.
Mm-hmm.
That would be too late.
Yes.
So you want to make sure that you've got the kind of, you know, dashboard,
mm-hmm.
all there are people who call them, you know, key performance indicators, a mm-hmm. way of telling,
yes,
before you get there, that you are, you know, on heading the right direction.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that the board can do
mm-hmm.
is make sure that they integrate what we call risk management.
Oh.
That they are always thinking,
mm-hmm.
what are the risks that could get in the way of
yes.
implementing this plan or strategy?
Okay.
And they are always monitoring
mm-hmm.
that risk you know, risk management plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just give you an example. If it is in a church, some of the risks
mm-hmm.
could be the senior pastor or the bishop has gone rogue. I mean, as
yeah.
you know,
mm.
as governance,
mm-hmm.
you must always know that that's a risk.
Yes, yes.
So that you've got a plan
mm-hmm.
of what would we do to be monitoring
mm-hmm.
whether that is happening.
Okay.
And it could be as a way of monitoring what is being taught.
Mm-hmm.
In a business, it could be among the risks.
Mm-hmm.
It could be taxation or even talk about, say, currency,
okay.
you know, fluctuation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for some businesses, the exchange rates can make a lot of difference.
Mm.
So that is a risk that, so depending on what the organization does,
yes.
you must have a way of monitoring your risks
mm-hmm.
as you go along. That's one of the things that governance can do
yes.
to ensure that the strategy is being implemented.
Mm-hmm.
The other one that is very important, I'm going to mention it soon, if we have the time for it, and we may not, is celebrating small wins.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. That, remember, you've got this wonderful
strategy.
Even 15-year,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, vision 20, it could be now 2040 or, you know.
Yes.
So your staff
mm-hmm.
or your implementation team may not be there long enough
mm-hmm.
To see the success at the end of 10 years.
Yes.
Or they might not be able to quite comprehend it.
Yes.
But you, as the board,
mm-hmm.
you are very clear about this is where you want to get to.
Yes.
So a way of giving encouragement,
mm-hmm.
and I'll talk to that in a moment, is celebrating small wins that
yes.
show you are heading the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives a lot of encouragement to your management team
mm-hmm.
So that they are not discouraged. When they, you know, remember, it's an elephant that they are trying to eat.
Yes.
So they want to, you know, get some encouragement that, hey, we are heading the right direction. We've eaten a quarter of this elephant.
Yes.
You know? So,
yes.
you know, keep up the good work.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just say one more thing about a strategic execution for organizations.
Okay.
Remember we mentioned earlier that if people mm-hmm. don't own the direction
yes.
the organization is going, particularly the strategy, mm-hmm. they are not going to participate.
Yes.
Let me just give an illustration from scripture
mm-hmm.
about how do you involve people
mm-hmm.
so that they are excited
yes.
about the strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go no further than the book of Nehemiah.
Yes.
It's probably the best example
yes.
of an excellent leader when it comes to execution.
Yes.
So the problem for which, you know, Nehemiah felt and knew he was called
mm-hmm.
or his strategy, the goal of his strategy is rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem.
Yes.
It had been left in ruins
mm-hmm.
for more than 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually 140 years.
Mm-hmm.
That wall was in ruins. And Jerusalem was not secure.
Mm-hmm.
God gave him a burden
mm-hmm.
and a passion for it.
Mm-hmm.
So in Nehemiah chapter 1,
yes,
he gets this message and from people who had just visited Jerusalem, and they have now come back
mm-hmm.
Where he was in exile and you know, in Persia, and they tell him about the state of Jerusalem.
Yes.
And so we know the story about how he started, you know, praying about this.
Mm.
Actually, he prayed for this for 4 months.
Wow.
You know, chapter one talks mm-hmm. about, you know, chapter one, verse one talks about in the month of Kislev.
Mm-hmm.
And in chapter two, after he has finished, you know, praying,
mm-hmm.
Or rather by the time he now goes to the king, he's been praying, it talks about the month of Nisan. So that's mm-hmm. about 4 months later.
Wow.
He now goes to the king and he gets permission
mm-hmm.
and he now goes to Jerusalem.
Jerusalem, yeah.
And the first thing he does when he goes to Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
the beginning of chapter 2, is he first of all goes by night to inspect the wall.
Mm-hmm.
He had all the facts into place.
Yes.
And it's only later in chapter 2, I mm-hmm. think it would be verse 16,
mm-hmm.
that he now talks to people. So if you like, mm-hmm. he's got the strategy.
Yes.
But he now does public participation, if you like.
Yes.
He gets people he tells them,
mm-hmm.
this is the problem that we are having.
Yes.
And God has given me the burden for doing something about this.
Mm-hmm.
Would you join me in rebuilding this wall
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, God's work can continue?
Yes.
And in verse 17 of chapter 2, they are so convinced
mm-hmm.
about this strategy, they say, we will start rebuilding.
Wow.
So you can see how in most of chapter 1,
mm-hmm.
in the book of Nehemiah, it is I, Nehemiah.
Mm-hmm.
I, Nehemiah heard. I, Nehemiah started praying. I, Nehemiah went to the king. I, Nehemiah did this.
Mm-hmm.
But in chapter 2, as he now engages with people,
mm-hmm.
that chapter ends with people saying, we will rebuild.
Wow.
And the rest of the book is about rebuilding, particularly chapter 3. They now, you know, get into the work of rebuilding that wall. So that is how you get people
mm-hmm.
involved.
Yes.
In building the strategy that they are going to implement.
I had a question. Actually, not a question, maybe a comment. Mm-hmm. There's something there you can help us, because you've told us that Nehemiah prayed for 4 months.
Yes.
But I'm liking his prayer because he didn't come out empty.
Yes.
When the king asked him what he needs.
Yes.
And it's like he had a list.
Yes.
So can I ask a question, like when we are praying, you know, the Bible talks about commit your plan.
Yes.
Does it mean after prayer we should be clear?
Well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a wonderful observation.
Yes.
And noting. You know, when in prayer,
mm-hmm.
what we are doing in prayer,
yes,
is aligning ourselves
mm-hmm.
with God's plan.
Yes.
That's what prayer is. So that
yes.
His will is done on earth as it is done in heaven.
Yes.
And once we aligned with God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
Now things start happening, because guess who is working behind those plans?
Mm-hmm.
Now it is God.
Yes.
And God opens doors
mm-hmm.
that absolutely we will not even have thought of
mm-hmm.
and we will not even have dared open.
Yes.
And it is that boldness
mm-hmm.
and courage that comes out of having spent time with God,
yes,
and sensing God's will,
mm-hmm.
that you can now dare go to the king,
mm-hmm.
and for Nehemiah even to look sad
yeah.
before a king,
mm-hmm.
he was a cupbearer
mm-hmm.
of the king.
Okay,
and this is a person who was a taster of the wine that is being given to the king.
Yes,
so that if it is poisoned, he's the one who dies. So this is the person who was so trusted. So
mm-hmm.
he knew, as he now went to the king,
mm-hmm.
he was not just going as Nehemiah the person.
No.
He is going as Nehemiah,
mm-hmm.
sent by God, and he's spent, you know, time with God. So, and God begins to open doors
mm-hmm.
that no human
could have opened.
Could close, yeah.
And where the king saying, absolutely, tell me, how long do you want to go to Jerusalem?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you need?
Mm.
And he gets permission to get, he even got, you know, security.
Yeah.
He got permission to get timber from the king's forest.
Yeah.
Everything. And the king, Artaxerxes,
mm-hmm.
sent word
mm-hmm.
to the governor in Jerusalem,
yes,
to say expect Nehemiah and give him all the assistance
that he needs. Wow,
that's what happens when we aligned ourselves
to God's plan. Wow, powerful. I like that. So we align ourselves, then we are able to influence others. I like the way you said it stops being I, then it becomes we.
Wow. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And in any organization,
mm-hmm.
if you're asking people to implement the I strategy,
mm-hmm.
you're going to fail. People
yeah.
have to say, to feel part of it.
Yes.
And let me just say two more things because I know we won't have a lot of time.
Yes.
I'll say something briefly about how do you
mm-hmm.
lead change as an organization.
Okay.
I'll say it very briefly,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll say something about how do you institutionalize that change so that it sticks.
Yes.
We don't have time to go into a lot of detail.
In like just 5 minutes so that we answer.
Yes. Oh, dear. Oh, yes. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let me, maybe I shouldn't even get started on this one. Let me just say it very, very briefly.
Yeah.
When you think about change,
mm-hmm.
and for those who are interested, for those of the listeners
mm-hmm.
Who are interested in the whole thing about change,
yes,
is we think of change in three phases.
Yes.
First of all, you've got to prepare for change. You've got to make people want to change.
Mm-hmm.
Because in many organizations, mm-hmm. and for all of us,
yes.
including, you know, us as individuals,
mm-hmm.
we really don't want to change. So you've got to give people reasons why they want to change.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing, preparing people for change. In some models of you know, you talk about refreezing. So that is, you know, preparing people for change.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the change itself, but once you make whatever change that you had intended to do, you've got to make sure that you put in some, whether it's structures or processes or procedures, to make sure that change does not reverse, does not backslide,
mm-hmm.
that it is institutionalized.
Yes.
And this is where good structures, good policies, just making sure
mm-hmm.
that your policies and your structures are not getting in the way
mm-hmm.
of the change that you have intended.
Okay.
It's very, very important. It's very important for the board to shepherd and to steward that process so that the organization can get to where it needs to get to. Let me stop there so that we can get time for a few questions.
Asante sana. Thank you so much, Dr. Joshua. I can find, I see a lot of people saying hi, but there's one particular one who is asking for your contact or possibly how they can reach you, possibly an email. Or right. LinkedIn,
so yeah. I think if they give you their contact,
mm-hmm.
you can give that information to Julia of Catalid and myself.
Okay.
Yes.
Sasa, thank you so much. Somebody else is saying, afternoon, is a strategic plan time limited or even one can plan even monthly not to lose focus, especially when in casual jobs?
There's a difference between what we'd call a strategic plan mm-hmm. and a plan.
Okay.
It's better for a plan to be a bit longer term,
mm-hmm.
But you can also have plans for the day, We should all be having plans, you know, like today, you've got a plan for today.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a plan, you could have a plan for this month.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to have an overarching longer-term plan.
Yes.
So that you are not just doing activities that are not related.
Yes. Wow. Thank you so much. Somebody else, this was from last time. Someone is saying, good afternoon, Dr. Joshua and Shiko. Thank you for the session. My question is on accountability of church funds. How come the needs of widows and orphans are greatly ignored in most churches?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
This is where for churches that are run well,
mm-hmm.
they would also have membership days mm-hmm. or even annual general meetings.
Okay.
Opportunities for the leadership of the church to report,
mm-hmm.
this is what we've been doing the last quarter mm-hmm. or the last month. This is how much money has come in.
Mm-hmm.
This is how much we have spent in these categories.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the opportunity. And they also do their budget.
Yes.
This is going to be our budget for the next 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And we plan to spend it in the following areas.
Mm-hmm.
So as a church member, you now have the opportunity to ask, how come
mm-hmm.
we are spending so much in this area, but okay. nothing when it comes to this?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a conversation that needs to be had at each congregation level,
mm-hmm.
as you know, so that you can also challenge and encourage the leaders
mm-hmm.
to do what scriptures would have us do. Yeah.
Yes, thank you so much. The one last question.
Mm.
Let me ask this on behalf of possibly many. You mentioned one of the reasons why Africa, we don't plan a lot is because of the past where we are used to living hand to mouth. But from the example you gave us, Nehemiah, he didn't have anything to plan. So possibly as a believer, can you tell somebody, like, what would you tell someone who is really wanting to plan, really knowing this is what God has for me? How can they go about it? Case in point, mm-hmm. Nehemiah, if you...
Mm. Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should all be planning.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, as we said earlier,
mm-hmm.
we, you know, God God is
the ultimate planner.
Yeah, is the biggest, you know, planner.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have sought the Lord about where we asking his help to get to,
mm-hmm.
that now becomes a plan,
mm-hmm.
and asking the Lord to help you to know how do you get there,
okay.
and now actualizing that plan in terms of doing what it takes
mm-hmm.
to get to where you believe God is preparing for you,
mm-hmm.
that's what a plan is.
Yes.
And the reasons why we don't receive our prayers,
mm-hmm.
you know, answers to our prayers, is because we have not asked.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you ask when you don't even have a plan?
Yes.
Of, you know, what you are asking for,
mm-hmm.
and how you will know when you get there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think whereas we can excuse some people who may, you know, live from heart to mouth and it might be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for the majority of people, especially people who are even listening to us, it
yes.
means they've got a level of preparedness in life
mm-hmm.
that would call for a good plan. I would really encourage that we all take seriously into planning, because God has given us so much potential,
yes.
each one of us.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, for the majority of people,
mm-hmm.
we barely scratch
the
surface, you know, because we have not set out
mm-hmm.
to understand, you know, and set out, you know, big, hairy, audacious mm-hmm. goals. We call those, you know, mm-hmm. goals for your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then trust God in terms of what will it take
mm-hmm.
to get to that goal. And God help me in this plan so that I may reach this goal for your glory and for your honor and for my blessing.
Amen. Thank you so much. In a minute, kindly say hi to say a prayer for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Just say a prayer. There could be actually the people who asked for your contact, they mm-hmm. want to start up.
Mm-hmm.
So you could also be speaking to people who God has been telling you have a big company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way scripture says the world has been waiting for the manifestation of the children of God.
Mm-hmm.
So just pray for someone.
Mm. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity of talking about these things, and particularly being reminded that you have planned for our salvation right from the time you laid the foundations of the earth. And we are so grateful that we can plan after you, a creative God who gives us that creative energy and gifting. And I pray for each one listening to me, both for themselves and for their ministries and for their organizations, that you would help them to just understand how much that you have given to them, given us the Lord Jesus, but all the blessings that come with him in terms of what we can achieve for you and for us, for our families. And so we ask for your encouragement as we seek your help in all these things, as we pray, believing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Asante sana. It was a pleasure having you, Dr. Joshua. Do you have yourself a wonderful week ahead? Yes. My name is Shiko. Until tomorrow, same time, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., this is Leadership Forum. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning into the Leadership Forum. Join us again on alternate Mondays for deeper insights on leadership. The Leadership Forum, discussing leaders and followers.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.